Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
This is 720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studios, the Jim Bob Show, game day edition. I'm excited to have on the line Jim Bob, one of the beloved members of the program.
The guy needs no introduction, Dane. It is Bill Moss, okay? My buddy, my friend, all pro, badass, everything. Hey, one of the meanest guys who ever played in the NFL, and every time I went out with him, I feared for my life. That's how that that's all you need to know, people. Every time we went out, Bill had a $5 million umbrella policy just for kicking people's ass. I was afraid to walk into a bar with him. So anyhow, hey, Billy Bob. This is it's always a pleasure to have you on the show today in Chicago. Yeah. As far away from the action on the streets as we can get. What are we up here, about 72 floors? So Billy Bob, want to talk about this NFL upcoming season with you, and want to just jump right into it, and because I know you've been studying and everything. Is that interesting year, buddy? There's so many great stories out there. If you think about it and you look at the top 100 stories, and, you know, just starting at the quarterbacks, you know, there's 32 stories plus just right there, because you've got, hey, who's going to emerge, you know, at the Broncos. You know, you got three guys there vying for the right position. So there's three stories right there. But anyhow, I want to get to talking about the division picks this year, and we're going to go out on a limb. Me and you are going to come about, and we're going to tell everybody who we think are going to win the division. And then at the end of this year, we're going to have a recap show sometime in February to see how smart. Yeah, we're going to see how smart we are.
We can edit it, of course.
You know, of course we can edit this show. But let's start with one of the toughest conferences out there. We'll start with the AFC. On the we'll go with the AFC East with the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets. Interesting stories there, storylines all about whether Aaron Rodgers is coming back. And obviously the head coach of the Jets, he's certainly on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I think he's, what, 18-35? I mean, I would think that would put you on the hot seat.
Yeah, Saleh, you know, he's averaging about 0.35 percentage here. To think about 18-33. And, yeah, a lot is going to hinge on, obviously, the quarterback. You know, they've got the makings of a good team. They've got talented at the skilled position. They've got a strong defense, and of course Robert oversees that. And they also have the easiest schedule of everybody in the AFC. So that's a plus, and that's the one thing that leads me to believe that everything remains the way it is right now, and injury wise, health, and Aaron comes back with a big year, that this team could be the one that comes out of here as the winner of this division.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's simple for me. It's either the Bills or the Dolphins to win this division. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of Robert. I don't think he's a head coach material, to be honest. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. I think he fires everybody up on that side of the ball. I think he'd be great to play for as a defensive player and have him as a defensive coordinator. But I think that the Miami Dolphins are too skilled at so many positions, and I think that the Buffalo Bills are still. And here's the deal: we're talking about the Buffalo Bills. Those are my two teams to pick. But you know, he's on the hot seat. If Sean McDermott, you know, they're talking about firing Sean McDermott if he doesn't pull it off this year. How crazy is that?
Yeah, and you know, look, there's something that's been amiss up there for a while, right? I mean, we see all the highlights. We've seen all the gutsy play out of the quarterback. We've seen all that. But there's been something wrong, and you don't have the team chemistry in place. I mean, it just, you lose control of your team, and that's what's been the issue up there. So, you know, that's why I kind of lean to, I know the Jets are the Jets, and I know Robert Saleh, I agree with you on your take as a head coaching. But I think, you know, if Aaron comes back to Aaron, they've got a talented enough team to win this division.
Yeah. I think it's, to me, that would be the surprise pick, and we'll get to that section later. But I'm still going to go with, I'm telling you this, I think the Dolphins outgun the Bills for the title this year. I think the Bills end up second. I mean, if I was going to pick a surprise, to me, the surprise would be the Bills win the division outright again. That's my surprise, and we'll come back. And who do you think will win the division on a serious note?
Yeah, nothing stays the same in this league, and we know that, right? Like the things you think you built last year and were in place can all of a sudden be gone the next year. And that's why, you know, each year it's, you know, team is like a snowflake. It's just, it's going to be a little different. And how is it going to end up, right? And so, I don't know. You look at the Miami Dolphins and you say, okay, you saw what they've done in 2 years. You saw the talent. You saw the explosiveness. Which two of you are going to get? Are you going to get the Tua from 2 years ago or the one you saw last year? And I think that's the big question mark when you talk about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. So when we put you on the line, who are you taking to win?
I'm taking the Jets.
You're going to stick with the Jets? Oh, my God. I love it because that is going – he just moved a whole segment of our show.
That's a high point value for the Wanna Parlay.
That is a great – I love that. All right, let's move to the next one, which I think is honestly – I think one of the toughest divisions in football, the NFC North. The North divisions are tough as heck. And give us your assessment on who's coming out of this thing alive and winning it.
That's a really tough division, right? And there's playmakers all over the place there. There's part of me when I look and I say, like, wow, Green Bay, they took their lumps. They stuck to their guns. They made strides. And now look what they got, right? Some great numbers put up last year. Jordan Love, if you were asking me 2 years ago, would I have signed this guy long-term to make him the highest paid contract quarterback in the league, I would have told you no, I wouldn't have. But they did, and they believe this is their guy. And then you got the Chicago situation. Matt, I don't know. There's a big question mark there. I don't know how they can dig themselves out from what they've done and what they've created, but they do have talent on the field. And if they hit this quarterback, that's a big unknown, right? Are they going to cater everything they can to make him the best that he can be? Well, it all sounds good going in until you get knocked down a few, and then you get pressure come on you, and then that's when the fall off. And I don't think he's strong enough to keep it together up there. So, you know, that's why I would say, hey, Green Bay, I would say takes the division. Minnesota, you know where they're at, right? I mean, that's a bad deal. Justin Jefferson, I mean, he was I had him as one of the best wide receivers in the damn league. And now you're going to sit there and wonder, is this guy even going to be anything this year?
And who's going to be the quarterback there? I mean, honestly, J.J. McCarthy is out. He was going to be the guy that I thought was bound to be the savior of them, and now he's out, and then so it leaves you to wonder who's going to lead that. Is it
Sam Darnold?
I guess I hear you. I think that here's what I'm going to say about the NFC North is that I'm going to say this, is that the Lions are projected to win it. I think the Packers, honestly, at the end of the year, were the better team. I'm going to see how this does, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Packers win the NFC North. I think the Lions come in second and the Bears third, and the Bears may get into the playoffs. I mean, Caleb Williams, I've been watching him, Billy. We have we opened up the El Bandito Wanna.com Wanna Parlay suite up Chicago, so we got a suite in Chicago as well this year. And I watched the preseason game against the Bengals. And I saw Caleb Williams make some throws, two throws, one with to Adonze, which I was going, man. And he did the same thing with the Bills. He's a real bona fide talent. There's no question about it. Caleb Williams, and they've got a receiving core, which I think is one of the top three receiving cores. When you add Kmet in there at tight end, I think that's really one of the top three. And with him and his capabilities, a lot of it depends on how that line functions. And I tell you what, the play calling, the first couple series with Caleb Williams in there, and I know it's preseason, but I thought it was absolutely horrible. And so he's still got to contend with horrible play call. And I hope they get better as the season develops and so forth. But I wasn't impressed with the first couple series in the play call. And I was impressed with Caleb Williams. And so in regards to that division, I think Chicago still is going to be Chicago, and Minnesota is going to bring up the rear on that.
It's interesting, though, the way that Bill mentioned it, you know, that it's like a snowflake, right? That you never know, and everything kind of moves and is always moving. It's kind of musical chairs, though, in the NFC North. You know, the Packers, Jim Bob and I were talking about it before we got on the phone with you, is that if it wasn't for all this excitement around the Bears, the Packers and Jordan Love and the contract would be bigger news, right? But there's only so many chairs. At the end of the year, somebody is going to either deliver, overachieve, or collapse.
Well, yeah, they've sucked all the energy out of media. The Bears, it's been all Bears pretty much, you know?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's Chicago, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, you know, number one overall pick and all the hype that goes with that quarterback. I think my big question is, what's Detroit going to be? When does this, you know, kneecap bite and stuff, you know, wear off, right? I mean, it was enough to charge this team up and get them excited about an identity and what they have, you know, but you know, how far can Goff take you?
They filled some holes in the draft and trades. They filled some holes defensively and in the secondary, because I thought that the Lions secondary was...
That's what hurt them really bad.
I think they filled some holes, but we'll see. You know, hey, it just depends on what kind of schemes they get up against and how things... I mean, how many holes they actually fill. I mean, we'll see. But I got to tell you, I'm with you on that. I think it was a great story last year, but... I'm still telling you, I think on paper that young Green Bay team, and a lot of it comes down to, you know, can those young guys adapt to the lifestyle of the NFL? I mean, how quickly can NFL, the players at Green Bay, adapt to it? And I got to tell you, at the end of the season, those guys were adapting pretty darn well, one play away from making it to the big show. Right. So we'll see on that. Hey, switching back to the Ravens and the Bengals and the Browns and Steelers, another division, which I think is, you know, both those North divisions are just really rough and so forth. Who do you think's coming out of that this year? The Ravens are obviously favored. Bengals second place, but I'll tell you, on my wild card, that Browns defense and then Deshaun Watson coming back. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Okay. A lot hinges on that whole thing. Okay, Deshaun Watson coming back and the things they put in place for him. A lot hinges on that. But I still think, you know, when I look at this division, I don't know how you unseat Baltimore. I just don't. I mean, when you have the coaching staff and the job that Harbaugh does down there with that group, and you bring in Derrick Henry to help out, right? You have one of the best tight ends in the league in Mark Andrews, easily top three. You got Zay Flowers stretching the field. You got a defense that plays from hell. Your special team is always on point. I just don't. They're just too solid and they're too well coached to knock them. Bengals are going through issues. You know, 2 years ago, I would tell you the Bengals were right up there as one of the top teams in the AFC. Obviously, they beat the Chiefs in a championship game. Where is that team now? They're completely different. And where are they with their star players and star wide receiver? So there's a lot there that is unclear to me. And when you have a good team, all those things are already taken care of and in place. And you have that in Baltimore, and you have that in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, you don't. Here's the deal. Chase doesn't have his $100 million contract, and so how's he going to play this year? You know, because he knows that, hey, he gets hurt, and that impacts things. And so I agree with you. I was reading one of the things I was reading about the NFLPA and the players grading their own team. And, you know, the Bengals are like 31st or whatever. I mean, as far as, you know, facilities and
oh my gosh,
you know,
the players call it the Bengal way. You know, you got to take you have to take your uniform home at night to wash it.
Right.
Okay? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I said it to Trey Brown, who's a buddy of mine, and Trey's up there being assistant GM, and he was with us for a while, is that, And I said, what is this about? I mean, because it was D's and F's and D's and F's and yeah. Versus, you know, the Miami Dolphins, which was the first place in the NFLPA report card. If you get a chance, go to the NFLPA and read the report cards on each team. And these are from the players. And so they rate the coach, they rate the facilities, they rate ownership. And the Bengals, you know, they get an F in ownership. And I mean, it's just, it's pretty bad. But I got to tell you, I agree. I think Harbaugh is a great coach. I think the Ravens win the division again. You and I are going to be together, buddy. Hopefully I get to see you at the El Bandito suite and the Wanda.com suite. So Chiefs kickoff. Yeah. Hey, those Chiefs first two games, you got the Ravens, then you turn around, and then on the 15th, the Bengals are coming to town. Hey, man, that determines a lot about who might be playing where in December.
Yeah, later on in the year, absolutely. It's tough for sure, you know, and you know, the Chiefs have played so many games over the last 5 years, right? If you total up how many games they have to play through the playoffs and the short off season they have with the Super Bowl and the parades. And I mean, it's tough. I mean, to get everybody back together and get them going. And when you get chips on your shoulder and things to prove, with like Baltimore, who last time they were here was a big game, they lost in a championship game. And then you bring in the Bengals and they nicknamed this Burrowhead, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot more incentive, I think, for those two teams coming in here, trying to knock off the champs at home.
But the Chiefs know, and they see this coming. I think they understand the significance of the game. Last year for that season opener, it was the Lions. This was before the Lions were the Lions that we're talking about now, right? And that was a big game for them, a statement game. But it kind of caught the Chiefs flat-footed, right? And they lost. I didn't realize it was all on the line, but it was for the Lions. I think everybody, it's exciting to have, you know, just such big consequences happening on day one.
Yeah, you're not going to catch the Chiefs flat-footed this year coming opening game. Hey, it's the Ravens. The Lions did. Yeah. I agree with you, Dane. Here's the deal. I think one of the best coaches in the NFL is Steve Spagnuolo. And even Spaggy got caught on that Lions game.
Yeah, he did. And they were able to do what they wanted with him up front. And that's one of the things that is going to be key this year is, for the Chiefs is, you know, do they have all those guys? They lost a defensive end there at the end of the year last year to a severe knee injury. Can they get him back in time? So that's an area to keep an eye on for the Chiefs defense, because the Chiefs defense carried the Chiefs last year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They did.
They were the ones that really towed the line. Well, I think it's going to be different this year. I think this offense is going to be something else to see.
Yeah.
Remnants of 2019 season.
When we stretch the field, buddy.
Yeah, they're going to stretch it hard too, man. Yeah. And I saw glimpses up at camp and a little bit in the preseason games, but they've got a lot there, Jim Bob, I'm telling you. Plus, they got another tight end weapon in Wiley.
Well, like you and I talked about too, man, this two tight end set is, I think that's a game winner, brother.
Yeah, you got Kelsey, you got Noah Gray, you got Wiley, who's really going to show up this year. And then you've got Hollywood Brown and the first round draft pick, just going to be down there just stretching the heck out of the field.
Hey, at 4-1, you can stretch the field pretty quick.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
Just you stretch the field by lining up out there.
Exactly.
Right? Just line up out there.
Right. Yeah.
How far back would your lineman be?
17 yards. Right. You know, we played when I started in the league, we were 1-7 when we'd come up with, and then as we got a little older, it was 1-10, and it was 1-11, 1-12, and now, hell, the free safeties are, I'm shocked at the fact that we always used to play everything 11 and 12 yards deep, and now today they're 25 yards deep before the snap of the ball. I mean, you know, so hey, turning our attention to the NFC East with the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Eagles and the Commanders, I'm very interested. It is a weird division. I'll tell you what, McCarthy, his job's on the line. The New York Giants coach, his job's on the line. The Philadelphia Eagles coach, his job's on the line. The only guy who's not mentioned with his job on the line, watch the Commanders. And so you got three of the coaches there, McCarthy and the Cowboys. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are projected to win this division. And I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of the Eagles right now. I think they're discombobulated. I think Nick Sirianni, I think that he's a different dude. I don't know if you've run into him or not, but apparently he's had some problems with the players and he's trying to rebuild some relationships. What have you heard?
Well, you know, he was here in Kansas City for a little bit. Yeah, you know, he inherited a pretty strong team, right, when they went to a Super Bowl. So that was great. And it's funny, you know, that's the whole thing. It really is the whole entire thing, is your head coach and your relationship and your quarterback. That's the deal.
Yep.
I mean, you can get as many great players as you want. And there's a lot of teams go through it with some fabulous players on all these rosters, right? But the key to the thing is getting the right combination with head coach and quarterback. And if there's something wrong in that, I mean, it just doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about there with Sirianni, I think that's it. You know, the guy in Washington, Dan Quinn, that just took over there, he's got a pretty good team. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and
Jaden Daniels is a stud
too.
Jaden Daniels,
he's a quarterback.
Yeah, he's going to be good. He's talented. We talked to Christensen about it. Christensen liked everything about that kid, from, you know, his position of his feet and his athleticism was off the chart. He's, you know, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, for crying out loud. He's going to be a great player. But you're exactly right. I think the Eagles, I'm rooting against them. I got to tell you, I think the Giants are going to be the Giants again. I'm not. There's nothing about the Giants that are making me go either. Have you seen their new uniforms? By the way, we're going to talk about that later. But they brought them back to like the 1930s and 40s uniforms. It's just, hey, if I'm a player coming out of Florida State or Oregon,
it means nothing to me.
Yeah,
it means nothing to me.
Yeah,
like, what the hell? Look at this stupid ass.
Exactly. If I'm a kid coming out of Oregon, and you're putting me in that throwback.
It means nothing to anyone. Like, what's the percentage of people that are alive that really look at that?
Nobody.
Awesome,
nobody. But so, Billy, I think this division, I think, is a weird division, like you said. And I'm taking the Cowboys to win it. And I got to tell you, I'm taking the Commanders to surprise people. I think that what's going on, you said it, that head coach relationship with the quarterback, and that's been fractured. I don't think it gets repaired. I think they stay in discombobulation. They've lost defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators back-to-backs.
Yep,
when there's, you know, those guys all got head coaching jobs. I understand that. But I think there's not that connection. I'm downgrading the Eagles severely this year, and I'm picking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I get it. And you're right about the Eagles. And plus, they lose Jason Kelce, right?
Yeah.
And he was a big leader. He was a big leader for the entire team.
100%.
You know, he kept everything real.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he made everybody toe the line and he made everybody accountable. And when you have a guy like that and you lose a guy like that, and you're talking about you don't have that with all of your coaching staff and you got a turnover in your coaching staff, you know, those are red flags. Plus, nobody's ever won the division twice in a row in like the last 10 years for the NFC East, right?
Yeah.
You like the Cowboys. I think that Jerry world is upside down right now, and the Dak stuff is just out of control. You got CeeDee Lamb. That's out of control. You know, again, to win these things, and when your owner is the guy that's running the team and not your coach, you got a problem. So I don't see them taking the next step on this deal. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Washington steps up and takes this.
Oh, man, I love it. I love the pick, because I would tell you this, is that if I didn't pick the Cowboys, I was going to say the Commanders win the NFC East, because I think the whole team is more in balance. I think this CeeDee Lamb deal is going to come back and harm them. I think I'm sick of the Dak deal. I would prefer to see Trey Lance in there, quarterbacking the Cowboys, and I think the Eagles are disarray, I tell you what really pissed me off about the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, is that when he came through the tunnel after beating the Chiefs there and he started, you know, flipping off the fans and talking smack, I just wanted to just like jump over and just beat his ass.
Act like you've been there before, right?
Yeah, not like we haven't done it before. I mean, we've had our fights.
That's what insurance is for.
It's what we carry insurance for these days. I mean, but anyhow, no, I think we're in agreement with that. I do like the Commanders pick and so forth. I think that's good. Going to an interesting division that I got to tell you, I don't pay a lot of attention to it because it hasn't intrigued me. But the AFC
South,
AFC South. The AFC South with the Texans, the Colts, and the Jaguars and the Titans. That doesn't do anything for me either. It's just like the NFC South. Let's talk about both those divisions right now. Let's start with the AFC.
Okay.
Well, let's go with the Texans, the Colts, and the Jaguars, the Titans. Who's coming out of that one?
Okay, Texans to win. Now let's go to the NFC South.
Okay, good.
Okay. You're right. Both the Souths have been like nobody. It's like an afterthought. Oh yeah, that's right.
They play. How bad is that though? I mean, honestly, is that here we are, two guys who are in the game. We go either one of those South divisions on the NFC South. I will tell you, I'm interested to see how Kirk Cousins comes back with the Falcons. Okay, I mean that story. The Saints are favored to win this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm putting my money on Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins, and the Saints aren't going to win that division.
Yeah, you're right about that. I like Atlanta too. I like just the fact that, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to be there. I like Raheem Morris too.
I do too.
He's just a good guy and a good coach. And don't forget, they've got some playmakers too. Bijan Robinson's a big time playmaker. Their tight end Pitts is one of the best tight ends in the league if they can find someone to throw him the damn ball. Cousins might be the one that opens this whole thing up for him.
Yeah, I think you could be right. Well, let me ask you this one. Going to the NFC, let's go out to the West and talk about the Cardinals, the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. I think San Francisco's in a little disarray, too. I got to tell you, I thought that the Rams were coming on last year and were coming on strong. I thought they just didn't have the playmakers. I got to tell you, I'm kind of favoring the Rams over the 49ers this year just because I think 49ers are in disarray.
Well, the only thing that's got the 49ers in disarray, I think, is the Brandon Ayuk deal.
Yeah, they don't have a contract.
And look, I mean, here's a guy who's at the top of his craft, too, and a big-time player. And he doesn't even get a chance to be on the Netflix series Receivers because they've got Kittle and Debo doing it, right? And this is his own team. He's like third in line on his own team as receivers.
Right.
So, and he's one of the tops in the league at what he does. So I understand his frustration. I can understand that. But there's a bigger picture there for them. And I don't think that he's enough to throw the thing into disarray. They're solid. They're just solid.
Well, they got a high-powered offense. Yeah.
They've got playmakers everywhere there. And that's something you have to contend with. I still have them as the tops in that division.
Yeah, I got to tell you, my heart.
Seattle isn't doing anything.
No, they're not doing anything. Cardinals aren't doing anything. I do like the Cardinals head coach, and I want to see how Marvin Harrison does as far as, you know, he's going to be a contender for Rookie of the Year. I got to tell you, I'm hoping that the Rams get their stuff together and come back. But you're right. The 49ers are so talented, and they're so deep. On the receiving core, when you add Kittle in there as well, they're in the top three of the total receiving core.
Oh, yeah. Well, and McCaffrey catches the ball, too, now.
Well, yeah. I mean, and let's not forget the 49ers defense is pretty damn good.
Exactly. And so I think from top to bottom, as the rosters go in that division, that 49ers are still going to be coming out of there strong.
You know, some people were talking about if Geno Smith continues his resurgence and their young core.
No.
No. That's what I said too. I go when people start.
It's great. I love to see old guys do good. Don't you?
Yeah, I do too.
But I don't know, and I don't know about Mike McDonald too. I mean, look, he's stepping in, taking over this thing, and that's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, and this isn't like, you know, this is a rebuilding deal for them. And who's your first rebuilding blocks? I don't know if they have them.
Right. There's no reason to even bring up the West, is there, in the AFC, and the fact that it's got to be Chiefs all the way. We know that. But there are some interesting stories there. It's like, hey, is Sean Payton going to push Bo Nix to be the starter? How's Jim Harbaugh going to do with that running attack at the Chargers? And what's going to happen with the Raiders? Give me the storylines.
Well, yeah. So that's it. I mean, you know, the Chiefs are still the granddaddy of them all in there. And it's been funny just to think about that division and look at the changeover of coaches. Look at the changeover of quarterbacks in this division, trying to find a way to contend for the division, right? They're all out to get the Chiefs, and it's cost a bunch of quarterbacks jobs and it's cost a bunch of head coaches jobs. So, yeah, and look, Sean's in there, and he's got his credentials, but He's forced to try to make something happen in year two and take those steps. I think it's going to be interesting to see that relationship with Harbaugh and the quarterback.
Yeah, I do too.
He's already nicked right in training camp. I think that quarterback was very comfortable with his head coach. He was comfortable with being where he was at, just in Los Angeles and getting all his accolades for being a quarterback, good-looking quarterback on the West Coast. I think Jim's going to push him and going to want more out of him. He's going to want him to step up and be a leader. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing unfolds. Is this kid going to buy into Jim Harbaugh and the system? And is he going to be comfortable enough to say, this is how we do it, and this is how we're going to win? Because that's the whole deal. Remember, I go back and I was telling you about the cold keys between head coach and quarterback, that relationship?
Right.
I mean, you have to believe and buy in that this is right. This guy's right, and this is how we're going to win games. And I see that I need to do better at this. For a lot of guys, that's hard to do.
No, I hear you. I agree with that.
And the Raiders, Gardner Minshew. Okay. All right, let's roll.
I tell you what, he is an interesting cat though, is it? But and you know, he's a solid backup and everything, but
there you go.
You know,
I'm going into the division with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I say I got him. That's my guy.
Yeah, no, I understand, buddy. Hey, let's switch gears to MVP and who the odds-on favorite from Bill Moss are. Who do you like?
MVP, man, that's, I don't, you know, for the league, for the AFC, or for NFC, or for who?
Well, I'm talking about the league MVP. I mean, because, you know, the talk is Jared Goff is a guy, Josh Allen's a guy. I mean, they all try to want to unseat Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, I'm just curious as what your thinking is.
I think Jordan Love could be that guy if they can continue that growth that he's on. I mean, he's got the weapons. He's got a good team surrounding him. This is a guy that was damn close to going to the championship game, right?
Right.
If his growth continues, you know, I think he'd be right up there with some of those names.
I got to tell you, I like that pick too. I got to tell you, I like McCaffrey. I thought McCaffrey is such a valuable player for the 49ers. And the 49ers, like as you said, is that they stay together in this what I think is discombobulating the team is his contract talks. And the reason being is that, hey, Purdy gets away with some throws. Okay, he's been a pretty good quarterback, but he's thrown it up there a lot of times for those receivers to go get. And that's where I think people are going to, you know, Brock Purdy's production starts to lose confidence. He can't just throw the ball up there and let those receivers go get it. That's where I think it all comes to play. I know there's a lot of weapons, but he gets away with a lot of stuff. And Purdy's had that benefit of having such high powered around him. Those guys have gone out and made catches for him. And so I think McCaffrey's an MVP candidate that I think is probably overlooked.
He should have got it last. He could have got it last year, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Everything he did for that team.
Yeah.
But the only thing that holds me up against that is when you go to the running back position, there's going to be someone new that's coming up. There's going to be a young guy that takes off this year, right? I can think of three or four of them right now that could just dominate in the league. McCaffrey's been doing this for a while. And running backs normally don't last that long, you know, and you're just pressing your luck every time you trot them out there when you get above 5-6 years in the league at the running back position.
Hey, I hear you. Hey, let's go to this section of coaches that are definitely getting fired this year. or we'll go to coaches that you want to slap. But on first of the list is Nick Sirianni of the Eagles. Then you got McCarthy of the Cowboys. You got
you named it Dable.
Dable,
the Giants.
The Bears, he's in there. Allen from the Saints. Todd Bowles from Tampa's on there. Robert Saleh from the Jets. McDermott from the Bills. Zach Taylor from the Bengals. And Doug Peterson from Jacksonville. Anybody on there that you see definitely getting fired?
Just given the history of the Raiders, I don't see this Antonio Pierce thing lasting very long. And given their quarterback situation, I don't see this thing going real well. I just think it's another knee-jerk reaction by Raiders management and a quick hire. I don't see it playing out.
I think that's that's good. He wasn't on the list, but I think he should be on the list.
Well, the thing is there's so many different storylines that are going to happen throughout the course of the season. But the end, it seems like, it feels like, is maybe already written with the Chiefs, you know, signing their invitation to the Chiefs Invitational, which will be the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Your thoughts on that before we let you go, Bill? Yeah, is just all that history. Well, yeah. Obviously the Chiefs.
Well,
right?
Now, Billy, who is going to be in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and are we going?
Yeah, we're going. Okay. Well, look, a couple things. They've been wanting to see this Green Bay Kansas City matchup for quite some time. since Super Bowl I, right?
Yeah, baby.
There's been a lot of talk about it over the years. Uh-huh. A bunch of times when Brett Favre had him going up there, when Dick Vermeil was undefeated here, everyone was pointing those directions. It just never materialized. Well, we're still waiting for it. And I think that these two teams are loaded. And absolutely, if things go their way with health, they could definitely be there.
Wow. I love it, baby. I love it. I'm going with Bill Moss's prediction as well. Here we go. Let's go. We're going to book our tickets today. Where do you want to stay? You want to stay down in the mix of it, or we want to stay on someplace else other than right down on Bourbon Street?
It all depends on how many nights. If it's for two nights, I can go for the mix of it.
All right. Yeah, I got to tell you is that there's a lot of talk about that the Lions are going to be in the Super Bowl this year. And I just think I agree with you, Billy. I'm not sold on this whole Lions deal, even though they made some good plugs with draft and trades and so forth. I think the Packers ended up being a better team in the season. And if they get off to a good start, the Packers do have the fourth toughest schedule, but you know, that first game in with the Eagles in Brazil, if they win that game, that could be a heck of a start before the bye at week 10.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, get them going. And same thing on the Chiefs side, right? I mean, they've got two hard ones right off the bat, and it's never easy when you got the target on your back. So it'll be interesting to see. It's always fun. That's why they got to line up and kick it off. And we didn't get a chance to talk about kickoffs, but that's going to be interesting.
Hey, what about the when we talk about the game, one of the biggest changes that I think is the fact that we've eliminated the onside kick now until the fourth quarter. I think that's a big deal. I really do. I think
that's anytime that you have a chance to do an onside kick, it just sets the tone. You could do it on the opening kickoff,
yes,
if you wanted to, and it has been done before. And teams try it. It's just a different advantage to ref, especially for teams that know they're outmanned, right? Like, boy, we just don't match up well against this team. Well, where do you make up that difference? You make it up in special teams, and if you can get some trick plays and some things like that to get the guys fired up and get the home team fired up, I mean, those things really matter. And now you have to announce it.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm going to be trying to trick you.
Here's the deal.
Okay, let's line up back here then, guys. Line up back here. I mean,
you know what they've done? They've changed the whole game now. In fact, if you are a team that's outgunned, guess what? You're going for it on fourth down. Oh, we're going on fourth down again. That's what you do. You're going to have to run your plays on fourth down, either fake punts, fake field goals, or just go for it. I mean, I think that's where the game gets changed, because there's teams out there that physically we're outgunned here.
We don't match up.
We don't match up.
Yep. It's some potential coaching malpractice happening. A lot of storylines happening. Bill Moss will be right in the middle of all of them here on the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition. Then also, we wanted to mention, Bill, too, is on 810 in Kansas City, you're part of every Monday the El Bandito segment where you break down all that game action.
Yeah, we love it. It's always good to just recap on a Monday, and we follow them pretty close here. So I appreciate El Bandito being a part of us again.
Hey, buddy, we get to figure out how smart we are on Monday. It's always easier. Buddy, I love you. I look forward to seeing you.
Great. Talk to you then. See you.